All right, folks. Well, the Lord instructed me right before I was going to teach tonight on Ephesians that I was to preempt this, partly because I left half my notes at home, and I think that's a sign that I need to tonight eulogize a dear brother and a dear friend who passed away this past Monday, January 17th. And you've seen him. He's been in our newsletters. He wrote articles for my newsletter, and that would be Robin Avi Hopper. And he was born February 14th, 1946, and he went to be with the Lord January 17th, 2022. So this will not be a long thing tonight, but I'd like to share with you what the kind of man and servant of the Lord Robin was, and the lifelong friend he was to me. But before we do that, let's go to Psalm 116:15. And there we read this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I could preach on just this verse alone for a long time. And this is a verse that's often preached at funerals when eulogies are given for those in Christians who have died. And first of all, let me say that this certainly applies to our brother Robin. He was a saint, as all true believers are. The New Testament designates the term saints for all true believers. They are not a special class of spiritual elites like some churches would have their people to believe. No, the term saint in the New Testament, and as well as the Old, refers to the true people of God. Saint can refer to, in the Old Testament, to the people of Israel, the believers within Israel, true Israel. And in the New Testament, it refers to those born-again believers in the body of Christ, the New Testament church, whether Jew or Gentile. Saint means one who is set apart and made holy to serve God. And Robin was a servant of the Lord. I first met him right after he married his wife, Sue. And he inquired about going to Israel to help out with our outreaches. And I prayed about it. And I felt good about it. And Robin and Sue, well, Sue had gone before Robin, before she married him on our trips. And she was accompanied with our outreach team. But her and Robin came on our outreaches, I believe, seven times. And he was saved and sanctified. Therefore, Robin is a saint of the Lord, a New Testament saint. Again, that word in the New Testament, saint, refers to, it's a general term for all true believers. It is not a term reserved for a select group that are more holy than other people. Nor does the church determine who are saints. That's another unbiblical practice that we see in some parts of Christendom. No, God is the one who saves, and once that person is saved and born again, he's a saint. That is, he's set apart for God's service. So Robin, indeed, was not only a saint, he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he trusted and believed and loved with all his heart. Why is the death of God's saints precious in His sight? It's not because of death. Death is an enemy. Death is the result of sin. So God is not esteeming death to be precious in His sight. So what does this mean? It simply means that when the saint dies in the Lord, that provides the gateway for him or her to be ushered in, his soul or her soul to be ushered in, into the presence of the Lord. That's why it's precious in God's eyes. When the believer dies, it's precious because the moment the soul of the believer departs, separated from his body at physical death, he immediately goes to be with the Lord. Twice in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, and I'll get into Robin's life and background here in a minute, but the last time I physically saw Robin face to face was about 3 weeks ago. He had been writing a book on Daniel not focusing on the prophecies like most commentaries on Daniel do, but he wrote a book focusing on the moral character of Daniel and how believers should emulate that character. And so I read his rough draft, and it was very good. There needed to be tweaked here and there, just like, you know, I've written books. They always need to be tweaked because you always write a rough draft. Well, most of that was corrected, and so Robin wanted me to look at the final draft. So he said, I'm going to come over earlier. I'll just leave it on your doorstep. And I said, yeah, I'll probably be asleep. So around 10 o'clock, my phone rang, and it was Robin. He said, hey, I left my manuscript on your doorstep. So I put on a shirt because I wasn't fully clothed, went down there, got it, and he was by his car, and he waved to me, and he said, it's there for you. And I said, okay, bro, we're gonna work through this and help you get this published. And that was the last time I physically saw our brother. The last time that I spoke to him, I did call him when he was in ICU. He could barely talk. His voice was unrecognizable. He had a mask on, but I told him that I prayed for him and told him that we here at Shalom and other believing communities were praying for him, and I told him I loved him, and he barely responded back, I love you too, bro. And that was the last time I did speak with him. Now, about 8 hours before his death, I think Sue called me, and Robin had two daughters. His third daughter died tragically in 1992 or 93. She was hit by a drunk driver, but anyway, she put the phone up to his ear, and I prayed with him, gave him the hope of Scripture, and 8 hours later, in the words of Shakespeare, he shuffled off this mortal coil and was immediately ushered into the presence of his Lord and Savior. So the reason why the death of the saints or God's saints is because death provides the doorway whereby that redeemed person is immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. And that's what happened around 5 a.m. on January 17th, 2022, our dear brother and servant went to be with the Lord. Now, I talked to Sue and others who worked with Robin. And as I said, he went to Israel. Him and his wife went to Israel with me. And I can tell you that he was, if he were to be graded as a Magadim or a Shiliach, those are Hebrew for preacher and ambassador. Christians call them missionaries, but we don't use that term in Israel because of the negative connotations it carries. Robin would have got an A+. The guy never faltered. He never wavered. He eagerly wanted to reach his people with the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, why do I say his people? Well, Robin was Jewish. His mother was Jewish. And according to halakhic law, if you want to even go that far, a Jew is defined as one whose mother is Jewish. So Robin Hopper was Jewish. And Robin did not have an easy childhood. I won't go into detail. We had similar childhoods. And his grandfather was a Southern Baptist preacher, got his doctorate degree from Southwestern, etc. And Robin came to faith in his late 50s. He had grown up in the church, but as he told me, several times he shared his testimony with me, it really didn't sink in. He, for a while, attended a Reformed synagogue here in Dallas. And then he realized that Yeshua was the Messiah and repented and put his trust in him. And again, I could give you many examples of Robin's stalwart service to the Lord in Israel. I remember one of the most vivid things I remember with Robin is, and he'd get up earlier than me. He was ready to go at 6 in the morning. I had to tell Robin, hey, things don't open up till 10. He was so, his engine was already humming. But I'll never forget one time, he was over in Israel with us, and he got word that his mother passed away. And he was struggling about whether he should finish the outreach and then come back here or come back here right then. And I told him, I said, brother, you know, it's up to you, but I completely understand why you need to go back now. I think that's probably what you need to do. And he broke down. He started weeping and said, I just don't want to fail this ministry. Robin was so committed to the ministry that he felt guilty about going back after his mother died because he believed in Berit Hadashah Ministries. He believed in To the Jew First Ministry. That's how committed he was. He was willing to put everything else in the back seat. So, Robin, his last trip over there, him and Sue started talking to an Orthodox Jew. And supernaturally, the Orthodox Jew came up to Robin and told him, tell me about Yeshua. And I forgot how he knew that Robin and Sue were believers in Yeshua, but it was uncanny. And so Robin and Sue spent well over an hour sharing the gospel with this Orthodox Jew, giving him a complete Hebrew Bible with the New Testament. Robin and Sue also went on their own to Israel several times, and I set up our ministry over there. I notified them to provide Robin and Sue Bibles. Robin was also a deep American patriot, and he was very grieved at what he was seeing concerning the moral collapse of this country. It really hurt him. He would be on the phone with me, and he would weep as he recounted the terrible direction this country's going in. He was a patriot, and he served this country, and Sue can correct me if she's watching. I think he served in the Navy as a Navy SEAL for 6 years in the jungles of Vietnam. In fact, I do work with the ministry that helps vets, and I always love to hear their stories. And I asked Robin what all happened over there, and respectfully, he said, I can't talk about it. It was that traumatic, no doubt. No doubt saw a lot of bloody sights in that war. But he was a patriot. He served his country. And more importantly, he served his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until the very end. Robin never wavered in his faith. He never complained either. He had recently been in the hospital and incurred some significant bills, but he never told anybody about it in a negative way. He never complained about it. If it was me, you know, I'd be complaining to the cows come home. I got to owe all this money. But Robin never did that. Robin certainly loved people. He was gregarious. And I think that's why he did so well in Israel. He not only had a burden for the chosen people and loved the Jewish people, but like Paul, he grieved that they were in unbelief towards Yeshua the Messiah. And he said, I have to do something about this. And when he learned about our ministry, he knew that was the perfect venue to do it. And he did something about it. He followed Romans 1:16 to the letter. He never wavered, never backed off. In fact, he kept asking, when can we go back? When can we go back? And I said, well, COVID has something to do with it. Excuse me. Another aspect of Robin, yes, he's a saint of God who's now in heaven in the presence of his Savior Jesus. Yes, he was a veteran who faithfully served this country and saw horrors that you and I, he hoped, would never see in the jungles of Vietnam. Yes, he was a devoted father and husband. But from my perspective, he was a friend you could count on. And he was there for you. Whenever you needed him, I'll give you an example. I was having kidney stone issues. And this was probably the worst one I've had. I've had 8 of them. And earlier that day, I called Robin and I said, Shalom's coming up in a couple days. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I might have to go to the hospital. And I told him what was going on. And you know what he said to me? He said, if for some reason you need somebody to take you to the hospital, any time of the day or night, call me. So about 2 days later, the kidney stone was moving and I was in just indescribable, paralyzing pain. So I called Robin and Sue. Sue answered the phone and I barely could articulate. And I told her, look, I think I'm in a lot of pain. I might have, I don't think I can drive. And the pain hit me so bad I dropped the phone and was on the floor screaming. And Sue, Robin said, what's going on? And he found out. And guess what he did? He came over 15 minutes later, helped me in the car, his car, and took me to the hospital. And he stayed there with me till that afternoon. And you know what time he came over? It wasn't a convenient time. It was 2 a.m. in the morning. That's a true friend. When he said he cared about you, when he said, I love you, brother, it wasn't just words. He meant it. So, Robin is a devoted husband. You could see that all the time. I met Robin and Sue every Wednesday for breakfast, and I've seen how Robin would come to the defense of his dear wife Sue, and if anybody spoke inappropriately in front of her, he was quick and right to correct them. Robin was also proud of his three daughters. As I mentioned earlier, his daughter, Charlene, passed tragically 1992 or 3 on New Year's Eve. And he never forgot about her. He'd always speak about her. And he was a father that his kids could rely on and trust. So, I spoke to some of the people that knew Robert, and Sue said the one outstanding characteristic was that Robin loved to be around people, meet people, and everybody loved him. He was winsome, had quite a sense of humor, and yes, he admitted he could be quirky at times, as we all know. And Kenny G, who's been to our outreaches in Israel, who also went with Robin and Sue and I, he told me that Robin was a solid ministry partner that you could rely on. You would want Robin Hopper in the foxhole with you. Let me tell you. Robin was also teachable. He had struggled with the truth of the pre-trib rapture. And I tried to convince him and show him from Scripture. But I talked to August Rosado tonight, who's also been to Israel with Robin and myself several times. And Robin and Sue, August came down here. He preached here at Shalom, and he was preaching at a Baptist church in Garland. And guess who showed up every night? Robin and Sue. And at the end of every service, August would ask Robin to come up so they could blow the shofar together. And Robin they weren't competing, but Robin would continue blowing well minutes later after August lost his lung power. But more importantly, August was teaching a series on the biblical basis for why the rapture will be before the tribulation. And I believe it was the second or third night, I can't remember. Robin came up to August and said, hey, bro, I need to talk to you privately. So they went, he took him aside, and Robin was tearing up. He said, brother, you've convinced me from the Scriptures that a rapture will be before the tribulation. Thank you. So Robin was teachable. He was here, wasn't he, every Friday night. And he taught here also a couple times I was in Israel. So Robin Hopper was a sweet, dear brother that you could rely on. As the scripture says, he was a brother born for affliction. And I believe that the Lord has said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." And for those of you who get our newsletter and so forth, I'm sure when I would give reports from Israel, we would also include Robin and Sue when they were part of the outreach, and we had pictures in my newsletter of Robin as he was ministering to the precious Jewish people. There are many stories I could tell about his effective ministry over there with the Jewish people. And for Robin, it was more intense, I should say, because he himself was a Jewish person. And it pained him to see the Jewish people remain in unbelief toward Yeshua. And he personally felt responsible both from a biblical perspective and a personal perspective to see that Jewish people hear about this wonderful Savior of theirs that they as a nation sadly remained in unbelief towards. And so for Robin, it was that much more special to be able to go to the land of Israel and reach the Jewish people with the gospel. And so this ministry has suffered a tremendous loss with his departure this past Monday. And I would ask that you pray for Sue Hopper, who's a member of this small congregation and a participant in this ministry. Pray for her, pray for her family. Pray for Robin's family, his two daughters, as they pick up the pieces from here. But Robin made the right decision Sunday night. And that following Monday, he was called home. And this soldier, not only of the United States government, but of the body of Christ, carried out his commission with honors. And he did go, pardon the cliche, above and beyond his duty. Robin was an exception to most believers as well as Messianic believers because he regularly witnessed. I think of not just in Israel to the Jewish people, but even here. There would be times when Israeli companies would set up kiosk here in the area and sell stuff, and Robin and Sue would go to several of these malls and find the Israelis and witness to them and give them the scriptures. So Robin just didn't confine his outreach ministry to the people in Israel, but he also did it here, and he also reached out to the Muslims. He witnessed to them. Recently, he witnessed to a Muslim in the doctor's office. And then when he worked briefly at the same security company I worked at, he befriended a Muslim, I believe he was a contractor. And they started talking and developed a rapport. And within a month, Robin gave him the scriptures and told him about the good news of Yeshua, HaMashiach. Muslims need the saving power of Jesus as God's Son. And as God in the flesh, Robin knew that, and he made the evangelistic effort to do that. So I'm going to close by sharing with you the fact that our loved ones who have died in Christ, we will see again. Not if and or but we will see them again. Either when we die and our soul enters the intermediate state between death and the resurrection at the rapture, or we will see them if the rapture happens in our lifetime. And I call that, for believers, the forever family reunion where neither death nor distance can separate. And so Robin now is beholding the face of Yeshua. His faith is no longer faith, but it is fact based upon sight. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4, he also was addressing the difficult and saddening reality of believers who have died. And those that were alive at the church of Thessalonica were wondering, what's going to happen? Will we see them again? And Paul reminded them, of course you will see them again. Because Jesus rose from the dead, and because He is risen, those who trust in Him are granted the same victory over death. So Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Now keep in mind, the word sleep in the New Testament is a euphemism for death. Paul goes on, "Lest," so in other words, "do not be ignorant of those believers who have died." Excuse me. He goes on, "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus." So this is the rapture passage. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another." Comfort one another with these words. This is a classic text on the rapture of the church, stating that it will happen when the Lord Jesus returns in the air, not the earth. It's not the second coming. There are two different events. He will first raise those Christians who have died from Pentecost to the rapture. So Robin is in that group. He died in the Lord, Monday, January 17th, 2022. So when the rapture happens, Robin will be a part of that group who have died and will be given a resurrection body like the Lord. And we who are alive will be caught up, and we will meet Robin and others of our friends and family who died in Christ. In other words, they were believers who died. And my friend, that day will be a gloriously indescribable, joyful day. I call it the forever family reunion of deceased believers raised with living believers who will be translated to heaven without seeing death. And that is our hope. The hope that our trust in Christ means we have victory over death. So when we do die, our soul will immediately go to heaven and be in the presence of the Lord, like has happened with Robin. Monday that he left this world, his soul was separated from his body, and he was in the presence of the Lord. Luke 16:19-31 describes the intermediate state of the soul, saved and unsaved. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, which I read you, deals with the first resurrection of the church. That technically, the first resurrection began with the resurrection of Jesus, and the saints in Jerusalem after He rose from the dead, according to Matthew. It will continue with the rapture of the New Testament church and translation. Those who have died in Christ will be raised. And we who are alive as Christians at that event, when the Lord comes in the air for us, the rapture, we will miss death. Our mortal bodies will be translated and transmuted into immortal bodies. And we will be reunited with our believing loved ones and friends who died in the Lord. And then the first resurrection will conclude with the raising up of the Old Testament and tribulation saints at the conclusion of the tribulation period and the beginning of Christ's thousand-year kingdom on earth. So Robin will greet us, you and I, either at the rapture or, if the Lord should tarry, you and I succumb to physical death. So while our hearts are heavy, and we are certainly saddened and grieved over our brother's departure, we know for a fact that he is with the Lord because of the fact of Christ's resurrection and the promises of God's Word. I'll end by saying this. If Robin Hopper could come back and say something to us, he would Chalice, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Don't delay. Do it now. And for those of you who aren't sure your sins are forgiven, aren't sure that you have eternal life by accepting Jesus Christ, aren't sure that when you die you'll go to heaven, you should not. The Lord does not want you to be in doubt or uncertainty. He wants you to put your trust in what the Lord Jesus did to save you by dying on the cross and paying the penalty for your sins, and by rising from the dead to give you eternal life, which means a home in heaven with Him and reigning with Him throughout eternity. Follow the godly example of our brother Robin Hopper, who in his late 50s saw his need as a sinner for the Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.